So the Buddha
accepted Ananda's conditions, and Ananda became his personal attendant, as we say, became his constant companion for 20 years. We might even say that Ananda became his friend. And the arrangements, by all accounts, worked very well indeed. It was a complete success. How well it worked, how successful the arrangement was, we can see from an incident that occurred shortly before the Buddha's parinirvana, his final passing away. Ananda, we are told in the Pali and other scriptures, was deeply upset by the prospect of losing the Buddha, as it seemed. And we're told that he stood there, leaning against the door bar, weeping. And as he wept, he said, "Alas, I'm still a pupil, with much to be done, and my master will be passing utterly away, he who was so kind to me." So he who was so kind to me. This was Ananda's predominant impression of the Buddha. After 20 years of constant day-to-day companionship, not that the Buddha was wise, not that the Buddha was energetic, but that the Buddha was kind, just kind. And what was the Buddha's impression of Ananda? Fortunately, we know this too. When he was told that Ananda was weeping outside, the Buddha sent for him, and he spoke to him words of encouragement. And then he said, "For many a long day, Ananda, the Tathagata," that is to say the Buddha, "has been waited on by you with kindly body service that is profitable, ease-giving, undivided and unstinted, waited on with kindly service of speech that is profitable, ease-giving, undivided and unstinted, with kindly service of thought that is profitable, ease-giving, undivided and unstinted." So what was the Buddha's predominant impression of Ananda? His predominant impression, it would seem, was that he was kind. That Ananda had served him with kindness of body, speech and mind. That he had kept nothing back. That he'd given himself to the Buddha totally. So we may say that the relation between the Buddha and Ananda was essentially one of mutual kindness, even though the Buddha was spiritually by far the more developed. The Buddha and Ananda were kind to each other. That may seem in a way a very small thing, but if you think about it, you'll reflect, it was a very big thing indeed, that they were kind to each other. Their kindness had never failed, had never been found wanting, even for a moment, on either side. Now, when two people are constant companions, and when the relation between them is of unfailing mutual kindness, what can you say of them? You can only say of them that they're friends. You can only say that they are spiritual friends. Because such unfailing mutual kindness over such a long period of time, 20 years, is possible only on a deeply spiritual basis. So Ananda and the Buddha were friends. But does not this sound a little strange? Does it not sound strange, perhaps, that the Buddha should have a friend? Does a Buddha need a friend? Well, this depends very much on one's conception of enlightenment itself, because it's his enlightenment that makes a Buddha a Buddha. I've no time to go into the matter fully tonight, but at least I'll make a suggestion, or rather, I'll give a hint. The enlightenment experience is not self-contained in a one-sided sort of way. The enlightenment experience itself contains an element of what we may call communication. It contains, therefore, an element of friendship, of spiritual friendship, that is to say, transcendental friendship, or friendship at the highest conceivable level. This, perhaps, is the significance of the Buddha having a personal attendant, having a constant companion. There was surely no question of his keeping up the dignity of a Buddha. Ananda was not a sort of spiritual valet come private secretary. The fact that he is in attendance, as the translator has it, represents the fact that there exists within the enlightenment experience, within the heart of reality, an element of communication, an element of spiritual friendship, something that found expression later on in the history of Buddhist thought as that rather mysterious concept of the Sambhogakaya.